times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
Praise the Lord this morning that the Lord is still in the fire. Amen. He is with us for every trial. He is there for us with every mile. Christ Jesus, our Lord, is with us. So with that promise, we can go on, church. We can go onward. Regardless if it's a pandemic we're going through, the craziness of politics, all of those things going on in our world did not catch God by surprise. And what I say this morning is, in spite of everything, let us go on. Let us go on with our faith, go on believing in God, and to look up, because our redemption is surely drawing nigh. And I'll just say it. I'd welcome the rapture this morning. The Lord will take us home, and won't have to worry about this world anymore. But until that day, we will go on. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs, and want to say it is good to see you this morning. So glad that you're here. Thank you for those watching by way of Facebook. We never take that for granted either. We hope that the service is a blessing to you and your home. And hope everybody had a tailor-made Thanksgiving. And what I mean by that is, because of everything going on, I know that Thanksgiving was a little different this year. As a church, we didn't have our annual Thanksgiving dinner down in the fellowship hall. We missed that. And a lot of family members were staying home, didn't congregate together. And I know of some that did, and some are fine this morning, but others have COVID this morning. Nobody that I know of at this church. But nonetheless, it was just a different Thanksgiving. But we're commanded to give thanks in all things, aren't we? To give thanks and give praise. And so we appreciate the Lord even at this time. We're moving quickly into the Christmas season. And I just encourage you to stay in tune as to what we're going to do. Listen for announcements. And it will be a tailor-made Christmas as well as far as the ministry here at the church. But we'll keep you informed. Remember the Christmas tree lot? And the tree lot is open. And how are things been going? Been going good? Okay. It's hard to tell with everybody wearing the mask and with the dim lighting. But I know things have been going good there because they always have. And the Lord has truly been blessing. And so I do want to say, even those watching as well, if you're interested in buying a tree, need any kind of information at all, you can log on to CalvaryChildrensHome.org, and you'll see a full list of all of the ins and outs of our tree lot this year. So I encourage you to do that. Those of you here, you could, of course, see Miss Darlene, Miss Melita, Brother Brian, some of the other leaders of the lot there. That would be great as well. And so we're praising the Lord for another year of the tree lot. And I want to leave you with a couple requests before we pray this morning. Let's remember Miss Cheryl Millwood, her sister, and spoke with her, found out the other day when we both were visiting Miss Barbara Anderson, kind of ran into each other, visited Miss Barbara Anderson there, that her sister, Miss Cheryl's sister, went in for some testing on her heart, and she has some underlying issues they're trying to locate and fix, and possibly open heart surgery or heart surgery. So let's remember Miss Cheryl Millwood's sister as she gets this scene about with her heart. Also, let's remember Brother Alan Clayton, which is here this morning, and I guess it was a few days ago, maybe right at a week, just short of a week. Brother Alan experienced some symptoms. He thought it was a stroke. That was ruled out, but he does have a type of palsy this morning in his face associated with some pain. And please remember our Brother Alan this morning. He is still here leading, singing. And I told him, I said, Brother, the Lord is being glorified through you this morning in the midst of it all. You know, still singing unto the Lord and leading the choir. And so what a blessing that is. But let's remember Brother Alan in our prayers. Of course, let's remember everyone on our prayer list in its entirety. You can find that on our Calvary webpage, calvaryministries.org, and where there's a full list of all these requests. All right. This morning, let's just allow the Lord to have his way. Let's allow him to speak to our hearts. And as hard as it is at times to dismiss everything mentally, to even focus, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help all of us gird up the loins of our mind this morning so that we might receive what God has for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning, and we're thankful and we're grateful for this time of togetherness with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we use precautionary measures. We're doing the best we can do. Lord, our one service we've been having since Father's Day, consistently we praise you for these Sundays we've had without any interruption of sickness. But God, you're in control this morning and you're in charge. We just ask for your protection, Lord, as we worship, from any virus. And God, this morning I pray for those who have the virus, so many people that we know. There's also, Lord, situations of virus unrelated that have touched homes with different physical elements, such as what Brother Allen's going through. We pray you'll touch him and them. And Lord, for all those who've experienced the loss of loved ones as of late, who have sent loved ones home to heaven, we pray that you'd comfort families. like the family we heard about of a dear friend of ours who pastors County Line Baptist. His 43-year-old choir director, unrelated to the virus, passed away, and his family is left behind. Lord, you know who needs what this morning. You, Lord, are beholding all things under heaven. Lord, our darkness is as light to you. And Father, we know that you know where we're at. So this morning, Lord, we pray for your protection, your love, your grace upon all of our friends and family, and those in the world, worldwide. We pray that you would, Lord, involve yourself like you are. We love you this morning. I pray that you would bless us tremendously. Let us be better than when we came in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Choir, if you'll stand. Church, stand with me this morning. Turn to page 120. Everyone stand and everyone sing together about the victory we have in our day.
I'm
simply says he sees what we don't. And it was on my heart this morning for her to sing that before I preach, simply because we may go through times of darkness, and we are nationally and as a world and individually, I'm sure, many of us. But I'm glad that we can anchor in the fact that though we may not be able to see the outcomes, what exactly is going on, the Lord can see. He can see it all. And so you pray for Lily as she sings. Rough may be the way at times, but confident I can say the Lord is with me and He is with you this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139. And we're going to begin reading in verse 7. Again, I count it an honor and a privilege and a joy to be able to stand on one more Sunday and preach God's word, especially during these closing days, I believe, before the Lord returns. And, you know, for the world, things are getting dark. And those that do not know Jesus, this is the only heaven they will ever see. And for the Christian, this world is the only hell we'll ever see. Let that stick a moment. This world is the only heaven that lost people will ever see. And this world is the only hell a Christian will ever see. And I say amen to that. Because when we leave here, we are definitely going to God's abode, a place called heaven. This morning I want to mention some things out of Psalm 139. Probably this is my most favorite psalm in the book of Psalms, because it's talking about the omnipresence of our Lord, talking about how He sees everything. He knows it all. And I'm grateful for that this morning, how that the Lord sees everything. He knows the end from the beginning. Paul says in the New Testament, He understands our frame. So whatever cares, whatever concerns, whatever darkness you may be experiencing this morning, I just invite you to take the hand of the Lord and let Him see you through. The book of Psalms, chapter number 139. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7. Psalm 139, in verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light, listen to this, are both alike to thee. David this morning, in these particular verses, is speaking as if he was guilty of trying to flee from God's presence. Notice in verse number 8, he says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Verse number 9, if I take the wings of the morning. Verse number 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. David in these verses is speaking as if he has fled from the Lord and tried to flee from His presence. But in all actuality, what David is doing is he is revealing to God's people that we can attempt to run, but we cannot hide. God will be there. The Lord knows, and He would know where we're at if we try to attempt to leave His blessed side or retreat into the world. The Lord knows. And so David is speaking as if he was guilty of trying to flee. Again, verse number 8, if I ascend. Verse 9, if I take the wings. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. And so David is speaking about the omnipresence of the Lord. He is everywhere, at all times, beholding men and women. And so this morning, I want you to notice in verse number 12, Because David reveals a tremendous truth that I believe for this particular and for life in general after this service. But in this particular service, I believe David reveals a particular truth about this ability of God that should comfort all of us. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12, he says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day." And here it is. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. David is revealing such a helpful truth here for all ages. And that truth is simply this, is that we experience darkness, but God does not. We experience darkness. And what is this darkness? This darkness can be disappointment. This darkness can be times of bereavement. Anybody been to the cemetery lately? This darkness can be trouble. This darkness can be care. This darkness can be concerns or losses. And so the blessing this morning, as we march and navigate through this pandemic and all of these crazy politics and protesting even, we can hold to the fact that it may be dark here, but it's not dark in God's eyes. He can see us in our darkness. We may not be able to see everything that's taking place clearly because of disappointments in our life, because of bereavement, trouble, or care. This morning, if you're experiencing darkness, just know this. He sees what you don't. He sees the end from the beginning. And all we have to do is build our life, as Brother Brian preached last Sunday, upon the solid foundation. Lay our hat upon the post of this verse, verse number 11, where although it may be dark for us, it's not dark for him. In church, we can march forward each and every day. Although all of these things are happening and people are passing, and our body takes the pains of this old flesh that we wear every day, it may get dark and uncomfortable, but he is our light. What a blessing this morning. What a blessing to know that we experience darkness, but God does not. Again, he says, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Have you ever been in a dark room? Have you ever walked down a dark hallway? There's been times where I've come into the church, getting something from the office or turning out a sound room light. And and the sanctuary will be dark. And I mean, I can't see anything going through this sanctuary because it's dark. But in like manner, in life, we go through times like that, where life falls apart. Well, we experience great disappointment, whether it's in people we looked up to, people that we were friends with, or whether it's a job that fell through, whether it's some kind of sickness, some kind of trouble in life, this pandemic, all these things can be darkness unto us. But Jesus can see right through that darkness. The same way I was walking through the sanctuary, it was dark to me, but it was just like light to him. I mean, physically and figuratively and realistically, spiritually, any way you want to put it, any type of darkness that we may experience, God does not experience darkness. This morning, I want to mention some things along those lines, and I want to preach on this subject, the thickest darkness. The thickest darkness. I believe David in this chapter, he mentions things, especially in our verses, about this thick darkness, about times where it's dark, and about how the understanding is not there to comprehend what's taking place. But yet again, we know that God is our light, although it's dark. The thickest darkness. I want to mention just a few things right on the surface this morning. Just a few things, a few simple things right on the surface. But yet let it refresh our minds and hearts of how that the Lord can see through our darkness. And all we need to do is trust him because of that. Number one, when we experience the thickest darkness, God can still see us. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11. He says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Verse 11 and 12. We see that God can see us. He can still see us in spite of our darkness. All we may see is darkness, but God sees clearly through what we cannot. You remember the quote that I can't see the forest because I'm so deep in the woods. Something along those lines. I'm so far in the woods, I can't see the forest. You know that old quote, that old phrase people throw around, and I've used myself, that somebody will say, well, what's going on in your life, Brother Justin? What are you doing? I said, well, right now, I'm just so deep in the forest, I can't see the woods. Or whatever, how you want to phrase it. And it's speaking of someone that is right in the middle of a lot of things. And so David says in like manner, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. You see, David was so far in the woods, he couldn't see the forest. But I'm glad this morning that we have a God. No matter how far in the woods we get, no matter how far in the forest we are, we serve a God who can see the woods. God can see your woods this morning. God can see your forest this morning. You may be in it over your head with responsibilities and obligations, and you have to be somewhere, two places at the same time. You may be so far in the woods you can't see the forest. Well, take great encouragement this morning that God can still see us. Although we're in it over our heads and there's a situation on every hand and you've been to the graveyard, I've been to the graveyard, there's people sick and dying, all kinds of problems taking place at home and at work. Things in life are happening and we may get so far in the middle of that that we can't even pronounce our own name properly. I want to say this morning, when you get in that kind of way, God can see your forest. It just makes perfect sense to me. Of course, this is easier preaching than living. Always is. It makes perfect sense to me. If I'm in it over my head and things are dark all around me, I can't see, but He can. It makes perfect sense to me to go to Him in prayer. To go to Him and say, Jesus, I can't see. It's dark. There's people dying, Lord. There's people sick. And Lord, there's people losing their jobs and having to leave their homes. Can't pay their mortgages. Lord, how am I supposed to encourage people? Lord, how can I stay encouraged? So far in the woods, you can't see the forest. This is what I say. Go to King Jesus. Crawl up in His lap in the throne room of grace. Why? Because He can see. And there is grace, ample amount of grace to sustain us during our time of need. You see, I think one of the biggest, and it was said last Sunday, some of the benefits of all this in 2020. And I think one, to add to, I think one of the biggest benefits of 2020 has been how this pandemic, and everything else, it has the potential to drive you and I to our prayer closet. It has the potential and possibility of deepening our relationship with Jesus. But you see, everybody doesn't do the same thing. And everybody doesn't do the right thing. Some people have turned to alcohol and drugs during this pandemic. Have you not heard the statistics? Depression, discouragement, alcoholism, marijuana. Listen, all those drugs, it has been statistically shown that so many Americans and people around our world with this big change in 2020, pandemic and all of it, has drove them to the bottle. Listen, friend, you and I are not exempt from that. It may shock some of you for you to hear me say that, but listen, We are not exempt from being alcoholics or drug addicts this morning. I'm speaking to you right from my heart that it is easy to lean on the arm of the flesh for comfort. It's easy to lean on the bottle, would be for comfort, or drugs, or all of those things, pain pills, all of those things. It would be so easy to do that. But you see, the right thing to do is run to Jesus. The Bible tells us from cover to cover, over and over, that He is our supply. He is our sufficiency. He is our shepherd. He makes things appear when they weren't appearable before. He makes the crooked path straight. He can make the straight path crooked. This morning I want to say that we need to run not to the bottle, not to the drug house, but we need to run to the church house where God is, and get in our prayer closet and pray until we're all better. Listen, it is divorce rates up. Just all kinds of rates are up. The bad rates are up. Drug abuse, divorce, people feeling alone, being in retreat, depression, discouragement. Let us really grasp this morning, that He sees what we don't. Let us really, church, I'm telling you, it's starting with me. Several times this week, I had to go to my prayer closet, and I really, listen, I had to grab that scripture right there in this particular verse, in verse number 12, and say, Lord, all I see is darkness, but you see light, Lord. I need help this morning, Lord. And you know what happened? And I'm not trying to make it sound like some kind of crazy, magical experience. It's nothing like that. But I'll tell you what happens in my testimony, my relationship with the Lord. It has been, I would go to Him when I have nowhere else to go, nowhere, no other outlet to plug into, and I would literally dump my life in that moment. Lord, I can't make it. Lord, I have a family. My daughter needs a dad. Lord, the church needs a pastor. Lord, I can't do any of that. But Lord, right here, right now, if You would enable me to see clearly through this dark, I'm going to be the best dad there is, the best husband there is, the best pastor there is. That's been my story. And that's where you get the real help. The real help. You remember this in Acts? It may be Acts chapter number 4, where the lame man sat by the gate called Beautiful, asking of alms. And so the people would go in at the hour of worship, and I'm guessing that there have been many people, you know, that would give that homeless man, that lame man, money. Peter and John came by, and this is my version. He asked them of alms. Peter told him, we don't have any money to give you, but we have Jesus to offer you. And in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. The Bible says that his ankle bones received strength. And the man rose to his feet, and he was jumping for joy. And he went to tell everybody about Jesus. Listen, if Peter and John would have gave him money, it would have prolonged his healing. And listen, I'm not Pentecostal, and I have Pentecostal friends. I'm not going to come down this front row and wave a hanky over Brother Harold or Brother Charlie and claim healing, get up, run off or something like that. You're healed. Only God can heal. But the principle is there. And the principle is this. When you are bankrupt, He's not. When you have nothing, He has it all. When you run out of yourself, run to Him, and you will find the joy of having the resurrected Lord in your heart. You will experience resurrecting power. You will be able to get in those work boots and go to work another day. You'll be able to come home and be the parent you should be. You'll be able to be all of these things, not because you're great, but because you have transferred the burden. David says, I'm in darkness, but God doesn't see darkness. In this context, David explained how God sees light. You may be so far in the woods this morning, But I want to say that the Lord sees the forest. God can still see us. Listen to this. He saw the three Hebrews in the fire. He saw Daniel in the lion's den. He saw the disciples in the storm. He saw the multitudes hungry. He saw Mary and Martha weeping over Lazarus. He sees you and he sees me. All we see in our darkness is pain, disappointment, and heartache. Jesus sees a sharper faith. Jesus sees a stronger faith. Jesus sees courage under fire. Jesus sees more reliance upon him. And so what I want to say this morning is that as we go and transition through these times of darkness, let it drive us to Jesus, because he sees us. And we can benefit, church, from this darkness. And so we see that we can experience the thickest darkness. When we do, God can still see us. So he says again in verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So number one, when we experience the thickest darkness, God can still see us. Number two, when we experience the thickest darkness, God can still help us. I know basically I've set everything in one main idea, but I'm trying to break a few things down in subpoints. God can still help us. Now, backtrack up to verse number 9. We're starting from the bottom and working our way up. Verse number 9 says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And so not only God can see us in our darkness, it's light to him, but God can help us. David is talking about God's involvement in our situation here. He starts to break it down to more particulars. David is talking about God's involvement in our life and his care and concern for us. Notice in verse number 10. David says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Now, previously we see that David was likening the Lord to a spirit. He says in verse number 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? But now he's actually talking about the personal involvement, the outreach to the individual. Verse number 9, he says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. He's personally involved. His hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. We see God's involvement in the darkness. You and I going through this dark, cold, and bitter world. Listen, if we belong to Jesus, he is holding us. If we belong to Jesus, he is leading us. God is personally involved whether we obey him or not. If we don't obey him, trust me, he's involved still. Sometimes it's through the disciplining hand of our Father. A lot like Lily, if, you know, she does good, I'm her father. She does not so good, I'm her father. And there's times where it's easy to be her father, and there's other times where it's not so easy. But when it's not so easy, there's things in place to get her back to where it's easy for me to be her father. Sometimes discipline is involved. But let me say this. In verse number 8, he says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Verse number 9. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. What is he talking about in verse number 9? If I take the wings of the morning. Well, he is likening wings to the vastness of the sunrise. How fast the sun rises in the morning. I was sitting in our dining room at our house. We got a big table. I call it the big house in that dining room. I was sitting there and I literally was watching the sunrise. It's a beautiful thing. But I looked down as it was coming up. Brother Allen, I looked up again and it was completely daylight. It happened just like that. And I believe in like manner, David is saying that, if I take the wings of the morning, he says, if I can be as fast as that sun comes up, or the break of day, the transition, how fast it happens, he says, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Right here he's talking about the Mediterranean or to the left of Palestine, next to Palestine. And all of those general areas, David is saying that if I had the quickness of the morning, how the break of day happens, if those were wings I could apply to myself, he says, I would leave and I would span from east to west in no time. Keep in mind, we're looking at God can still help us. And so David here is talking about God's involvement in his life, God's care and his concern for him. He mentions the morning in verse number 9. The wings of the morning dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. But then in verse number 10, he says, even there, if because of my darkness I want to flee from east to west, as fast as the light of day, he says, even there, verse number 10, shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. This is God's involvement in our life. This is God's involvement in David's life. Again, verse 7 speaks of God's Spirit, and verse number 10 speaks of his aid. And so we see as we stand back from these verses that God is always directing and protecting. David says, if I could just leave or fly away, I would leave this darkness. He said, but even if I do that in haste, you're there, protecting me and leading me. I like what John 10 verse number 28 says. John 10 and verse number 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I stand back and look at that, David's expression there, and I think about David fleeing, David abandoning his situation, but God's hand was still holding him. God's hand was still directing him. And when we come to Christ in salvation, no man, no thing, no situation shall be able to pluck us out of his hand. If we decide to backslide on God and just go back to the world, guess what? He loves me enough that he still has a hold of me. If I choose to advance with the Lord and do the very best I can do and things still fall apart, he's still holding me. He's still guiding me. And so David says that God, in the midst of this, of the thickest darkness, that the Lord shall help us. Again in verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I think about this morning, the prodigal. And I'm trying to preach this two different ways this morning. Excuse me. Wearing three layers of clothes and the heat being on, it's kind of hard to preach. I think about the prodigal and how that he took. He asked of his inheritance. He took it, went to a far country, spent everything he had. And at that particular time, there arose a famine in the land. How about that? You could say that's coincidence, or you could say that's the providence of God. Coincidence or providence of God? I say it's the providence of God. Because what happened when he was there in that foreign land with no money and no friends? Would have eaten of the husk that the swine did fill their bellies? What would have happened? What happened? A famine arose. It got worse. But then he came to himself. He says, I will arise and go to my father's house. And when he was a great way off, the father saw him and ran to him, had compassion on him. Where are you going with that, Brother Justin? I'm just trying to explain the best I can that when things are dark, we make good choices, we make bad choices. If you belong to him, you're in his hand. And he'll do everything he desires to do to get you back in fellowship with him. Or if you're in fellowship with him, he will always be your provider, sustainer. And so David says in verse number 10, even he says, verse number 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. So we see all of these things. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it mentions several things. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. We serve a God this morning whose love surpasses regular love. Ephesians 3:19 will tell us that. But this morning I want to mention a third thing. And we'll bring it to a close in a few moments. When we experience the thickest darkness, God can still help us. God can still see us. And then lastly, God still accompanies us. In the thickest of darkness, God still accompanies us. In verse number 7, notice what he says. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. What is he talking about? Well, David here, he contrasts the upper from the lower. And he says heaven and he mentions hell. Now, when it comes to heaven, there are three heavens. There is the air, that's called the first heaven. We walk outside, we see the sky, we see the air, the birds, the fowl, everything. That's known as the first heaven. The second heaven would be outer space and all the planets and all those kind of things. But then there's the third heaven, the abode of God. And if you remember when Paul had that thorn in the flesh, we say it was Paul. He explains it was him. He was speaking in the third person. He says, I was called up to the third heaven. And I couldn't speak of it when I came back, is what he said. But as we look at this heaven here, we can say, well, the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, or we can just say all the uppers. He says, no matter how far up I go, he said, you're there. And then he says, in verse number 8, he says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, we believe, and most commentators believe, the reference here is given to the abode of the dead or the grave. And so David, if that's true, David is saying this. He's saying, Lord, if I go up, you're there. If I go in the ground, you're there. I would say the rapture of the church, we know he's going to be there. He's coming back for us. And as David is writing here in this verse that no matter how far, first atmosphere, second, third, abode of God, he says he will be there. But then he says, if I die, you will be there to help me into eternity. And so he says that if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You can probably hunt down and look a translation of that verse that suits probably whatever you feel it suits. But at the end of the day, David is contrasting upper from lower. And he is telling us that God will accompany us in heaven. We know that. And I'm glad this morning that when it comes my time to go to the graveyard, I know the Lord is there. He is there to make that crossing when it's my time to go. He was there for Christy's grandfather, about a week or so ago, he was there. the Lord accompanying him there and called him to heaven. Our friends over at County Line Baptist, again, the choir director, 43, passed unrelated to COVID, but it was a heart problem. The Lord was with him when he went. The Lord was with Brother John, Brother Ceylon, when it was his time to go. And the Lord will be there with us when it's our time to go, if you know him as your personal Savior. That's the darkness on the outside looking in. But when it's our time to go, he will be there to be the light we need to cross over. Paul says, though we see through a glass darkly, he goes on and he mentions, but then face to face. What a blessing this morning. What a blessing. The thickest darkness. God can still help us. God accompanies us. And this morning, God is with us. Are you experiencing personal darkness this morning? Let me add this as they come. You may not even know Jesus as your personal Savior. You may say, my whole world's dark and it's always been dark. Jesus wants to be your light. If you're here this morning or watching by Facebook and you do not know that if you die today, heaven will be your home, he wants you to know that heaven will be your home. And in Romans chapter 10, tells us, verse 10, that it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. Not the baptistry, although we follow through with believers' baptism and that publicly professes to everybody what happened on the inside. We have some friends that believe that baptism saves you. No, it doesn't. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am not minimizing repentance, because we must repent of our sin. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. I do not know for sure that heaven will be my home when I die. Would you right now come in my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me of my sin, and make me a brand new creature. Take me home to heaven when I die. Jesus will do that. And he'll turn your darkest day into light. Maybe this morning you just need to come. You're already saved. Whatever the case is, as we stand, invitation is given, as they sing. You come if you need to come. As we stand to our feet.